Opening our Bibles now tonight, once again, to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to continue, and I'm going to be briefer tonight than usual, I promise you that. In light of the congregational meeting to follow, and also in light of your patience in this hot weather. However, we do want to look at the Word of God. And I'm reading and you're hearing again Ephesians 5, verses 18 through 21. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We return once again to this passage that I trust now is becoming familiar to you in Ephesians chapter 5 that deals with the filling of the Spirit. The command for Christians to be filled with the Spirit. This command found in verse 18. And as we have already learned, to be filled with the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit, is the same as being controlled by the Word of God. As we cross-reference this passage with the one in Colossians chapter 3, we realize that being filled with the Spirit and letting the Word of Christ dwell in you richly are indeed one and the same. And that when we are filled with the Spirit, that we will be controlled by the Holy Spirit as to our words and our actions and even our attitudes. And we have seen thus far two results that according to these words by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 are the outflow of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And the first one is communication with singing in verse 19, and the second one is expressions of thanksgiving in verse 20. What is going to flow out of your life? What is going to flow out of your mouth when you are indeed being filled with the Spirit? Well, here's what you can expect. Number one, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And number two, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first two results or evidences of the filling of the Spirit have to do with our worship toward God, our singing, and our expressions of thanksgiving, which many times go together. But our worship toward God is the first thing that is affected by our being filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. But now we come to a third result, the one that is found in verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We learn that a third result of the filling of the Spirit is a submissive attitude, a submissive spirit on the part of the believer. Now, we're going to analyze this in a moment, but let me first give you a couple of illustrations. We could take a choir, maybe our own church choir. It is very apparent that in a church choir you have a number of individuals, and each of these individuals have their own individual voices, their own individual talents. And yet, if that choir is going to be able to communicate praise unto God and edification to the people of God, everyone in that choir is going to have to some extent, submit himself to the others. Everyone there must recognize that though he is an individual, he is not a soloist, necessarily, unless he's called upon to sing a solo, and at times that may be true. But for the most part, he is going to have to submit his voice to those around him and to the conductor. And when he does, and to the extent that all do that, the choir as a unit will make melodious praise unto God. And to the extent that the choir members do not do that, you are not going to have a very harmonious result. We could take a very similar illustration of that of an orchestra. Orchestra players oftentimes, in a good orchestra, without question, are very talented individuals, have spent many thousands of hours learning and practicing their instruments. Any one of them could no doubt solo beautifully, and yet they are not called upon to solo. They are one member of an orchestra. Everyone, therefore, must learn his part, and not only learn his notes, but he must listen very carefully so that as he plays, he is blending with those around him. Not too loud, not too soft, not too slow, not too fast. Though he is an individual, he submits himself to the others and to the conductor. And the result is beautiful music, beautiful harmony. And that's very much the way it is in the body of Christ. We are learning from Ephesians 5:21 that humble submission is essential to the well-functioning of the body of Christ and its testimony of a sweet aroma to the world. Now, our text tonight in verse 21 serves as a hinge between what has gone before and what comes next. And what comes next is a section on human relationships, interpersonal relationships in the body of Christ and God's structure and orders for each relationship. Specifically, two relationships are dealt with in the ensuing verses. And they are, number one, the relationships that are found in the home, and number two, relationships that are found on the job. Now, there are other relationships that are dealt with elsewhere in the Bible, relationships to civil government, relationships in the local church. And actually, all of this is in the context of the local church. But in this particular passage, Paul sees fit to zero in upon relationships in the home, and that breaks down to marriage relationships and relationships between parents and children, and then the employer-employee relationships, which follow in chapter 6. And that's all going to come. But before Paul starts talking about the particulars in the home, between husband and wife, between parents and children, and the particulars in the marketplace, between employers and employees, he first of all sets forth this basic principle that all believers have some area of submission to all other believers in the body of Christ. Now, there truly is a doctrine of mutual submission, and that's what we are seeing here in Ephesians 5:21. The result of the filling of the Holy Spirit is that each believer will submit himself to others in the fear of God. Now, let's look very quickly at our text tonight, and I want us, first of all, to see an exegetical analysis, secondly, a contextual placement, and thirdly, a comparison and reinforcement. And we begin, first of all, with an exegetical analysis, and we're going to ask some questions of the text. And they are very simple questions. Number one, do what? Number two, to whom? Number three, why? And number four, how? That's pretty simple, isn't it? All right, first of all, do what? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves. That's what we are called upon to do. It is an injunction. It is an instruction. It is a command. The word that is used, a Greek word, hupotasso, is a compound word. The main part of the word, tasso, means to draw up in order of battle, to form a battle array, to marshal troops or perhaps ships. It is in reference to soldiers who are marshaled in military order under a commanding officer. And thus it speaks of the subjection of an individual in the company of others and under the command of someone else. And coupled with the prefix hupo, which means under, there is a special emphasis upon this idea of submitting, of being under. It means, therefore, to subject or to make subject, to arrange under, to subordinate, to put in subjection. And one final word by way of grammatical analysis, and that is to simply state that this is all in the middle voice, which means to subject oneself. It is to be a voluntary act on the part of the believer. We're not going to get into marriage relationships tonight, but I think it wouldn't be premature for me to say, when we come to the area of husband-wife relationships, the very clear and obvious command of Scripture that wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands. Could you believe the furor that was raised by the Southern Baptists making a public declaration of their belief in that in Salt Lake City a couple of weeks ago? I don't often say a whole lot about the Southern Baptist, and I probably haven't said a great many kind things about the Southern Baptist, but let me stop right now and say hooray for the Southern Baptist for doing that. I appreciate very much their taking that public stand for the truth of God's Word and taking a beating in the press because of it and yet courageously standing for it nevertheless. Can you believe the furor that something as simple as that, right out of the Word of God, created? But again, that's not surprising considering the day in which we live. But here's the point I want to make. The Southern Baptists were right. The wife is called upon to graciously submit to her husband. The husband is not called upon to subjugate his wife. There is a difference. It is a voluntary action. Now, if she doesn't do it, she's disobedient to God. And I don't think it would be wrong for a husband, if appropriate, to remind his wife of that. Dear, the Bible commands you to graciously submit yourself. This is God's command. This is God's order. Spiritual leadership would require that reminder where it's appropriate. However, it is not the husband's place to force his wife into subjection. It is the wife's place as a child of God, submitted to God, and we trust filled with the Holy Spirit to graciously submit herself to the place that God has designed for her. But it is also true that there is this mutual submission in the body of Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This means that there must be an attitude of humility, an attitude of submission on the part of every individual in the body of Christ. Husbands as well as wives. Parents as well as children. Pastors as well as members of the congregation. All of us are to have an attitude of humble submission one to another, which is the opposite of self-assertion, the opposite of total independence, the opposite of an autocratic spirit, the opposite of an uncooperative attitude. And this kind of spirit very much requires love and unity and cooperation, deference and humility. It requires, in short, a servant spirit, a servant's heart, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's what we are required to do. To whom are we required to do this? And our text tonight tells us that we are required to do this one to another, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There is a place for submission from all believers towards all believers. Now, that doctrine certainly does not cancel out other things that are said, and that's why I made the point that I did, that this is a hinge between this section and the one to follow. And in the one to follow, there are some very specific instructions, and rank and order is very much spelled out in homes, in the marketplace, and elsewhere in the church and in civil government. There is some order, there is some rank that is spelled out in the Word of God. And that is not negated by what is said here, but what is said here lays the proper attitude, it lays a predicate for everyone's attitude within the body of Christ. And why are we to do this? We are to do this because we fear God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is, because you fear God. Because you have a reverential fear for the Lord. Because you desire to please Him and submit yourself to His commandments. And if you love the Lord and fear the Lord, then you will obey what the Lord has told you to do. And so, this is why. It is because you fear God. And then the final question, how do you do this? Where do you get the strength to do it when it's not easy? And it's not always easy. And that's verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When you find it difficult to have this attitude, as you know you ought to have, where do you find the strength? You call upon God, or more specifically, the indwelling Holy Spirit. You give yourself to the Word of God. You submit yourself to the commands of Christ. You let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. You yield yourself once again to the indwelling Spirit of God and call upon Him for the power to do what you are required to do. That's how. That, in short, is our exegetical analysis. Secondly, we'll take up briefly the contextual placement of this text. And I want to say that it is, number one, a concluding verse to the preceding section. And it is, number two, an introductory verse to the next section. I think I've already alluded to that. But let's look at this briefly. First of all, as a concluding verse to the previous section. And what we are learning, therefore, is that the filling of the Spirit is indicated by meekness and humility, not by arrogance and self-assertion. We're looking, among other things, in this section, for evidences of the filling of the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? This section tells us. How do we know when we are filled with the Spirit? This section tells us. What are the evidences of the filling of the Spirit? This section tells us. And I surely don't need to remind you again that there's not a word anywhere in here about speaking in tongues, but there is a great deal in here about singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord and giving thanks unto God and then submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Furthermore, I think we could see from the placement of this text, which is something of a bridge between what goes before and what follows, that mutual submission precedes leadership. There are certain areas of leadership that are assigned to different individuals who have different roles within various relationships. Husbands are called upon to exercise godly leadership in the marriage relationship. Parents together are called upon to exercise godly leadership over their children. That, of course, gives wives and mothers a very significant place of authority over their children in the home, and so forth. But mutual submission precedes leadership. And this is what we need to understand. There is a sense in which a husband submits himself to his wife by carrying out the instructions that are given to him here toward his wife. For example, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That is, in one sense, that's not the totality of what is being commanded here, but that in one sense is an act of submission of the husband to the wife. Now, first of all, it's an act of submission of the husband to the Lord. Taking that place of leadership is under the Lord. But exercising loving leadership in the home is, in a sense, submitting himself to the wife according to the instructions that are given to us here in the Word of God. Now, I say that's not the totality of it, because that concept would not necessarily emphasize this spirit of humility that must undergird it all, and that I very much want to emphasize. For even when we take leadership, we must do so with a spirit of meekness and humility. And that's why this instruction of mutual submission, the body of Christ, precedes the other instructions. Whether the following instructions emphasize submission, as they do of the wife toward the husband, or whether they emphasize leadership, as they do for the husband toward the wife, in either case, there is a great measure of meekness and humility that is required to carry out these responsibilities in the way that God wants them carried out. You see, this would go a long ways toward eliminating the abuses of authority in the home and over children and in the workplace and in other relationships. If everyone would understand their place to submit themselves one to another in the body of Christ, then there would not be that autocratic dictatorship, that abuse of power that sometimes brings so much disgrace to the name of Christ. And so this text is, first of all, a conclusion to what has gone before. It helps explain what the filling of the Spirit is. And number two, introduces what comes next. But I would thirdly have us look at a comparative reinforcement of what is said here. And I think to do that, we'll just turn and briefly read some familiar texts. And let's begin in the book of Matthew. What is Paul telling us in Ephesians 5:21? Well, turn to Matthew chapter 18. And I would suggest that Paul is telling us something very much like what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." It sounds a lot like submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We'll turn the page to Matthew chapter 20. And remind yourself of this familiar text in verse 28. Well, let us back up maybe. Verse 25, Jesus called them unto Him and said, "Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Return to the Gospel of John, chapter 13. The familiar upper room scene where Christ gathered with his disciples on the day before, the night before his crucifixion. And there, as you know, he girded the towel, took the servant's place, and went around and washed his disciples' feet. Verse 12 says, "So after he had washed their feet and then taken his garment and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done unto you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." Sounds very much like submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we could go on. There are many other similar texts. We could take many out of the epistles of Paul, and I'm not going to do that because I'm going to bring this thing to a conclusion. Mutual submission. There is a sense in which every individual believer submits himself to all other believers within the body of Christ. Such submission is necessary for, number one, the blessings of true Christian fellowship to be fully enjoyed. Such submission is necessary, number two, for the church to present a united, powerful testimony before the world. Such submission is necessary, number three, for Christ to receive the glory from His body upon the earth, which He so richly deserves. And therefore, it would be good for every one of us tonight to ask ourselves the question, do I have this spirit? Do I have a humble spirit, a submissive spirit, a servant's heart? Do I demonstrate a meekness and humility and willingness to submit myself to others in the fear of God? Do I, as Paul instructed, esteem others better than myself? And many other such texts throughout the Word of God, and I think all of us, if we're honest, would say that we are not all of these things to the extent that we ought to be, and therefore let us call upon the Lord to help us to be the humble, submissive servant that our Lord Himself exemplified for us. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we once again have looked into Your Word and once again have been instructed and, yes, have been rebuked for our pride and carnality which rises up so easily within us. O Heavenly Father, give us more of the Spirit of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in us, O God, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. O Lord God, give us that humility, that meekness, that submissiveness, one to another, within the body of Christ, to the honor and glory of Christ, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.